We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Good morning. On a morning of greatness. Greatness can be defined. It can be perceived in a variety of ways. The birth of a child is a great moment. Marrying the woman you love is a great moment. Waking up on time in Las Vegas and showing up for a radio show. 100% attendance rate. Dibley, Lorenzo Neal, myself, Derek Papa, Cody Elias, our producers, everyone made it. MGM Grand, we are here. Good morning. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. We're action-packed today. We're here for the Andre Ward, Sergey Kovalev fight. Boys, everybody looks good this morning. I am shocked. And that's not because I had little faith in this team. It's because I know Las Vegas, and I know what it can do to people. And to see everyone looking this good and performing at such a razor-sharp level, ultra impressive.
I think it's the amount of pressure you put on us, Joe, because to disappoint Jody! Nobody wants to disappoint Jody, because you get on Joe's bad side and it can be a long, cold show, Lo.
I like to make people uncomfortable. I like to create an environment of discomfort. I feel that people work well when they're uncomfortable and angry.
Oh, my.
Funny, this morning, Lo calling me three times in a row, right? I'm looking at the phone. What does this guy want? What does this guy want?
How do you know it's me? The number's blocked. How do you know?
Because I only get calls from one blocked number. So in a sense, it really is a good call, effective caller ID. So eventually I pick up. Yeah. Are you okay? Oh, no. Where are you? I'm up in the room. There was concern. Lo, you had concern. Blackjack table?
I played it off kind of good. I'm like, I was just making sure you're good, buddy. But I was rolling. I mean, everyone else was calling. So I said, you know, I'll give him a call too. I mean,
I'll tell you when I'm going to need that phone call. Tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, Sunday morning, and
gotcha.
Sunday night. I'm going to need that call in all those scenarios. All right, we're rocking and rolling today from the MGM Grand. But as we like to start every day for you, here comes your update.
And let's start with the Golden State Warriors, Joe. As they go looking for a sixth straight victory. They're on the road at Boston. They sit 9-2, half game back of the Clippers. Kevin Durant going up against one of the teams that coveted him in the offseason. Our coverage starts at 3:30, they've got Milwaukee tomorrow, Joe. Is this a game where they might be looking ahead to the team that ended their streak last year?
That's the first time I've ever heard about a look-ahead spot involving the Milwaukee Bucks. Congratulations, Dibs. Yeah, that's it for me.
I guess it's not a look-ahead spot.
The answer would be no. I think right now you've got the revenge angle tonight in Boston against the Celtics. This team is all about one day at a time, not in the common cliche sense where it's we're not thinking about 74 wins. It's the we've got to experiment and figure out how we're going to make this defense work. So tonight is our next opportunity to get into the lab, do a little experimentation work, figure out how we're going to get this thing to the next level.
Our coverage starts at 3:30 here on 95.7 The Game. Week 11 in the NFL is underway. Carolina beats New Orleans 23-20. Ted Ginn Jr. got in the end zone.
After reviewing the play, the ruling on the field is a touchdown.
There you go. What a catch.
More excited than a replay review that's upheld, but Luke Kuechly, Lo, injured in the game. That must have been tough to watch.
It was. I was watching the game and watching this great win by the Carolina Panthers. But seeing Luke go down, you saw a guy with emotion, not because he was hurt, not because of the pain he was in. It's because something that he loved so much kind of reminded me of a Rodney Harrison when he broke his arm. It wasn't the pain that made him cry. It was the fact that this guy could no longer do something that he enjoyed doing. He is the glue of that team. They lost a big – that's a big-time loss by losing Kuechly.
Sharks, meanwhile, story number three, dropped their second straight on the road trip. They lose to St. Louis 3-2. San Jose 2-23 on the power play over their last eight games. The update brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Card clubs come and card clubs go, but after 100 years in the same corner in Emeryville, we are here to stay. Play it smart. Play it Oaks. I'm Dan Dibley on your new home of the Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
Did you say 2-28 on the power play?
Yes, that's the number.
Good God. That's how it started last year, too. December 15th was the date last year when the Sharks turned it all around. So no reason to panic early on, especially with how deep this team ran into the season last year. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. We are live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada. Everyone is here. Everyone's looking sharp. I tell you, didn't look all that sharp last night. The New Orleans Saints, as they fall 23-20 in a divisional rivalry game, Thursday night football against the Carolina Panthers. Panthers advance to 4-6. The Saints also sitting now at 4-6. Lo, is this one of those situations where now I'm supposed to get back on this train thinking Carolina's finally figured out and they're going to turn this around? 2 weeks ago, they got a win, and that's what people started saying. Don't worry, they're going to come back. They're very talented. Then they blew a 17-0 lead to Kansas City last week, and it was, all right, we're off the train. Something's wrong here. Now they beat New Orleans, so which is it? Because, quite frankly, I'm not all that inspired by this team right now.
You know, Joe, you could look at it. Kansas City is a game they should have won, could have won, but didn't win. They'd be sitting here right now at 5-5. And we wouldn't be having this conversation because that would put them right in the thick of things. But now it was reason to say, yeah, they're right back in it. But last night, Joe, when they lost their captain, their emotional leader, their team leader, their defensive captain, a guy who gets guys lined up, a guy who covers the tight end. Oh, by the way, he knows when to blitz. He gets people in great situations to make plays. I think now this team is officially done when you lost the guy they lost that night in Kegley.
Really? Even at 4-6 and in a division where the Bucs are struggling, the Saints are struggling, Atlanta's been good, not great.
Sure.
They lost to Philadelphia last weekend. It's still there for the taking, but you think the Kegley injury is going to have a big-time ripple effect, huh?
No question. This was a team that, until he got hurt last night, I said, okay, they're going to make some noise. They can sneak in this thing. I watched this guy. He is a secondary. You watch this guy line up the secondary. Watch the offensive lineman getting linebackers in position, knowing where to close, make sure close right, close left, getting his defensive guys, his chess pieces in place to make plays. You can't just plug in a guy. Now you're going to plug in a backup, and the backup's thinking about his job. He's not thinking about everyone else's job. At the Mike linebacker, you know that, Joe. You're a quarterback. Everyone wants to point out who? The Mike. They want to know, there's the Mike. Now if you got a guy just reacting because of the fact now he's in there for the first time as a starter, he's worried about how do I make sure that I cover my job? He's not making sure getting guys lined up. Hey, move over, shifting guys over, getting them lined up. He can't do that. He's just got to focus on his job. So you lost a very, very important piece of your team, Diggs.
It's a huge piece, but fortunately for Carolina, they still have the man. Dab on him, Lo.
Oh,
pull back the shirt, get the cape out, because if you are Superman, you will lead this team in a division that is ripe for the taking. Atlanta's at 6-4 has proven that they can be exposed. Tampa's at Kansas City this Sunday. A tough spot. If they lose, it'll be a three-way tie for second. So Cam Newton, if you are Superman, then lead this team to the playoffs. If you win 5 of the last 6, you can still get in.
14 of 33 last night for 192 yards. He's averaging less than 6 yards per attempt. A touchdown, no interceptions. That's Cam Newton's night against the New Orleans Saints. Against the New Orleans Saints on the road.
The vaunted Saints defense, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, Newton...
That's it.
Newton does a real nice job of making it clear that he's treated differently than a lot of other people, and I agree with him on that with the way he's officiated. But he also is getting some superstar treatment this year in the sense that no one's busting him up for how he's playing. We talk about his comments and his behavior and how he's going to talk to Goodell and these press conferences and these outfits. He's not that good this year. And he's got Kelvin Benjamin back. He's not playing all that well. Now, I know they lost Josh Norman, but that's the defensive side of the football. Offensively, if this is Tom Brady, if this is Aaron Rodgers, who's taken a verbal pounding this year based on how he's performing, Andrew Luck starting to catch the heat when his team doesn't win, Newton's flying under the radar as it pertains to his performance.
I agree. I think that he is flying under the radar, and I don't think it should be excusable. I think you got to call him out. The guy still makes some amazing plays. Yeah, he takes some big hits, but he's underperforming. All he wants to do is dab on them folks. So I look at Cam Newton, and I think that you're right, Joe. You look at a lot of guys that take unjust heat, and if this was Tom Brady, they'll say he needs to retire. And that's the thing that I don't like, you know, real quick going back to Tom. It's like if he has a bad year, he's done. It's like with football, and it's weird because I remember playing him 35, 36 years old. Oh, you're old. You can't play. Miss a block. Oh, that's because you're old. Forget you. It's not because I'm old. It's because, you know what? I missed the block. Tom Brady, it's it in a nutshell. But if Tom has a bad game or a bad, he's getting old. But look at Cam Newton.
It's the lazy excuse.
Yeah.
Rather than sit down and actually figure out what's wrong.
Right.
It's just, well, he's old.
Right.
Well, he's tired. Well, he's not prepared. Like Green Bay, well, it's Rodgers. Is it Rodgers? If you start to peel that onion back, it stinks, and it's not just Rodgers.
No, it's
not. It goes all the way to the top.
Absolutely. But everyone wants to, oh, Cam Newton's having, oh, is it because Cam Newton's taking all these hits? No, he's having a bad year. So he's not old. He's young. So, should he retire?
Should Cam Newton retire?
Exactly.
More on that. 56%, that's his completion rate this year. 56%. He's thrown 3 touchdown passes over his last 4 games. Not exactly lighting it up on the offensive end of the spectrum, which is very good news for your Oakland Raiders, because they're going to be hosting the Carolina Panthers next week at the Coliseum. That's going to be coming off the Monday night game in Mexico City. The latest update on the Raiders, Alden Smith, crickets. Yesterday was the 1-year anniversary of his banishment from the National Football League, which means he is now eligible to be reinstated. Goodell, obviously very pressing business, getting ready to stick a shovel in the ground with Stan Kroenke in L.A. They're doing the big tribute ceremony, I believe, today or this weekend. So Goodell couldn't weigh in on the Alden Smith situation yesterday, but I think from what we're reading and seeing, something should be coming down the pike today. You can't just have this guy waiting around.
Right.
That's the job. So what do you think is going to happen? Do you think we're at a point where we might hear today or tomorrow and we could get Alden back on the field for the Raiders against a Luke Kuechly-less Panthers team next week?
I think you would see the news maybe come today late in the day if the league is going to allow him to come back, if there's any controversy at all around the decision to allow him to come back, then they would do it late on a Friday. The old news dump, you know? When everyone's attention is starting to go to the weekend or the weekend action, you send the news out then.
NFL's good at that.
And NFL's definitely the best at that, at dumping the information where they want it. I can't imagine them waiting until Monday, but I guess they could to coincide it with the Raider game.
How do you see that playing out? Did you ever have to deal with the league in a suspension?
No, but they're gonna reinstate him. I think that Rodgers, being Roger, he's taking his time. You know how Roger is, and you know he'd rather go for the groundbreaking ceremony. But they're gonna reinstate this young man. But at the end of the day, the Raiders are in a good situation. They right now, do they need Alden? They're winning. Is Alden gonna help them get over the hump? Would he add a little bit more to their depth and add a little bit more pass rush? Absolutely. But the Raiders are in a good situation, Joe, and right now they just need to be worried about Mexico City, but they will get Alden Smith back.
I'm going to digress for a second because speaking about bringing someone back into the fold, getting some closure,
yeah.
The Chicago Cubs, the ownership group, has said that they are going to contact Steve Bartman at the right time and try to give Bartman some closure. Now, no one knows when that's going to be. For those who are maybe just waking up or just joining us here on planet Earth, Steve Bartman was the guy, the super fan, who reached over the fence for the foul ball in the 06, 05, I don't care, NLCS 03, 2003 NLCS. He is blamed for the futility the Cubs went through for so many years, and that just shows you how clueless Chicago fans can be. How do you bring him back into the fold? What could you possibly do for a guy whose life was ruined?
They teabagged him, Dibs.
Was ruined, Dibs. Ruined.
Seriously, Lo. I mean, we joke around about that, the he teabagged him expression, but he really did get teabagged by the entire
city. He got teabagged with an anvil.
Of Chicago. It all depends on what Bartman would want, but to me, it starts with him throwing the first pitch on opening day. And then maybe he gets a ring, for God's sakes, right? I mean, you go to how far are you going to go to get this guy back into the fold? Because what happened to him, not necessarily from the organization, as we appeal to our Canadian listeners, but what the fans did and the people of Chicago, he was the pariah, not only of the city, but the entire nation. So if you really want to bring him back in the fold, he throws the first pitch, he gets a ring, he sings Take Me Out to the Ball Game in the seventh inning.
I agree.
Maybe he starts at shortstop, for
ESPN killed him.
Get him an AB.
ESPN killed him. They show, oh, he's a fan, and they stop, and you get to see him. I mean, this guy was death threats. I mean, he leaves the town. I mean, I feel bad for the guy. Little glasses, nice
state. He had to go to Florida. He had to leave the state and uproot his life because the city of Chicago was so irate that he reached out for a foul ball.
God,
they blamed him for a game. You know, if Alex Gonzalez doesn't boot the ball that comes his way a few moments later, inning's over.
Details.
Yeah, Cubs win. And, oh, by the way, you had Game 7, which you were leading and blew. Bartman wasn't there. He wasn't responsible for that. But it's nice that there'll finally be a way to get some closure.
Good.
See, this is a guy that I believe was offered an opportunity to be a part of the World Series parade, turned it down. See, he doesn't want to be in the public light. I think he's his 50. You know how they say everyone, Andy Warhol, everyone gets 15 minutes of fame? He didn't want his 15 minutes.
No.
And he doesn't want any more. He'd like to take those minutes back. So that Steve Bartman will be interesting to see how the Cubs handle that. Back to the Raiders game. Monday night, Mexico City. Derek Carr, as great as he's been this year, this is a big-time redemption game for him. Now, he had that coming-out party for the rest of the nation Sunday night against the Denver Broncos. People are now starting to come around to the fact that, hey, look at the Raiders. Not only are they legit, but they got a quarterback who might be an MVP candidate. But this Houston Texans team passed on him twice 3 years ago when he came out in the draft. Twice. To the point where DC even said, they didn't even contact me. They had no interest whatsoever. So now here are the Raiders with their franchise quarterback, MVP candidate, and here are the Texans with Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, I think, Joe and Dibs, I think what we should do moving forward, because I know, Joe, you love the smooth transition, how you handle it. Why not have a bell? And every time you get ready to make the transition, just ring the bell. I think we're learning something today. But, yeah, as I digress.
Let me just throw in that we're on Radio Row here at the MGM Grand. Any sights and sights, any sounds you may be hearing, we're jammed in here with a lot of other radio programs who are having a great time.
Right.
Everyone's having a great time this early in the morning. That's morning radio. Yeah. So, yes, the bells that Lorenzo's speaking about.
Hey, but when you look at D.C. and you think about what he's been able to do in his short career with the Raiders, this game, yeah, they passed him twice, not once, but twice. And you know what? I think it's even more than that, Joe. I think it's a deep-rooted one. I mean, you think about his brother, David. You see what happened to him. Guys get drafted to Houston. What do they do? Didn't give me any help. Got sacked more than any guy in the history of the quarterback position, you know, being his rookie year. He was running for his life. They treated that man horrible, ran him out of that town. I think that you have a little rival here, a little family blood. You did that to my older brother. Guess what? Little brother has a time for some redemption. This is redemption for the Carr family, Dibs.
Somewhat, I can see that, you know, because his brother got knocked around pretty good. And it basically cost him his career. He sustained so much damage physically and emotionally that he was never able to get right. And you've seen that with other quarterbacks. Matt Schaub is a guy who you see get tentative, a lot of back foot throws.
And why do you think they passed on young DC?
Probably because they saw his older brother
and
not
they said
perform.
We can't. Yep.
And it was, you know, in part, they had no offensive line. And, you know, David never really got his sea legs under him. And so you pass on the second generation. Raiders smart to take him and get him in there and also protect him low.
Sure.
You ever notice that Houston has absolutely no idea how to handle the quarterback position? In their entire existence, they don't know how to handle it. The Carr draft pick is not what I'm talking about. Highly rated, very talented coming out of Fresno.
No question.
That's not what I'm talking about. They never built around him, though. They never gave him a chance to succeed. But ever since David Carr in Houston, look at how they've handled things. Matt Schaub, what was he? He was the backup to Vic in Atlanta. He had a little bit of talent. He hit free agency. They said, this is going to be the guy. And Schaub was okay. Everyone remembers him for being a pick six disaster. I mean, that guy was a pick six buffet at the end of his career. But he was okay at the beginning. He was serviceable.
Right.
He put up some numbers. Fantasy owners will know what I'm talking about. He threw for 4,000 yards a few times. But he was still not a guy they acquired through the draft.
Right.
Brock Osweiler is the same damn thing. He was the backup to Manning in Denver, and then they went out and picked him. This is the highlight Trent Baalke should be paying attention to. Every year, use at least one pick on a quarterback. Every year. It doesn't need to be your first pick, but it being such a valuable position, being the most integral position in all of sports, if you strike lightning in a bottle with Dak Prescott, you've either got your quarterback of the future, you got a hell of a trade piece right there. What do you think is going to happen with the Oakland Raiders and Connor Cook at some point? You find a way to make Connor Cook look good in the preseason, someone's going to come calling in a couple years. They're going to want to kick the tires on maybe giving that kid a shot. Coming out of Michigan State, a lot of people thought he had the goods to be a pro quarterback. So in a couple years, develop him up, give him a couple soft spots in the preseason, maybe work him into a blowout game if that's the direction the Raiders are trending. And I'm talking blowout on the right side. Get him in there, put a little good tape out there. What was he, a third, fourth round pick? Mm. Flip him for a two.
Yeah.
That's why you should be drafting that position every single year, Debs. You don't go out and spend $70 million on Brock Osweiler sight unseen. You don't have to go chase the Matt Schaubs of the world. One pick every year. One pick every year.
Well, the 49ers did take a quarterback this year.
Mm-hmm.
Guy by the name of Jeff Driscoll.
They cut him.
So,
Come on, coach.
If you're going to take a guy that you think you can develop, what do you have to do?
Let him develop, coach.
Yes.
I mean, coach – Hey, you know what? The Niners could have hired me. Because I tell you right now, Joe and I said, Prescott, you should take this guy. We looked at him and said, where did this guy could go? I said, he would fit Chip Kelly's type of system. He's big, he's fast, he's mobile, can throw the ball. I said, take this guy. Everyone said, okay, the guy gets a doobie, so now you're going to pass on this guy and not bring this guy into the fold. That's a shame. We'd seen it happen. We saw the guy, the way he's playing now, what Prescott's doing. He would have been able to fit this system. But, Coach, you get a guy, like you said, the developer. You don't just cut the guy after you draft him, Coach.
There is something to be said, though, about the fact that Prescott in San Francisco would not look anywhere near what Prescott in Dallas looks like. And I know that's not what you were trying to say, but obviously,
future,
given the right situation, Dak Prescott can excel.
Sure.
You give him a good O-line, you give him weapons, he can excel, and he's only going to get better. San Francisco and Cleveland, it wouldn't necessarily work out, but
right.
Take a shot on a QB every year. It doesn't need to be in the first round. I mean, you're cutting a lot of these guys at the back end of the draft anyway.
Right.
So what are we talking about here? What are we really talking about? I don't know.
Talking about giving yourself a chance to maybe develop a guy. Raiders with Connor Cook. Bit of a controversial selection, but you get a chance to develop a guy. Young.
You want to know the perfect example of why you do things like this?
Tell us.
The Washington Redskins. Robert Griffin III, they trade up and take him second overall.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks he's the future, and then a couple rounds later, they take Kirk Cousins. Why are they taking Kirk Cousins, everyone asked. They just got their quarterback of the future. It didn't work out with Griffin. Look at how it's playing out with Cousins. Cousins has been pretty sharp this season.
Yes.
He was really good last year. Who knows if he develops into that elite-level type quarterback, but he's serviceable. He can play the position, and he's got them in contention right now. That's the most important thing. Everyone thought it was so bizarre that they took him. Just like it was bizarre the Raiders took Connor Cook. It's not because you don't have any confidence in your starter. It's because you want the insurance policy. Not just because the kid could develop into your guy, but because you can flip him for a price tag that's a lot more expensive than what you spent to originally acquire that piece. That's why it's just so bizarre to see the Niners. I think that's Balky's greatest shortcoming. I really do. It's not the fact that this team lacks the overall talent at pretty much every single position on the field that has led to such disastrous results the last 2 years. It's the fact that you have gone, 5 years, and you've drafted maybe two quarterbacks? Guys you took real late? I mean, Driscoll doesn't even count.
Right.
Driscoll doesn't even count because you got rid of him that quick. I mean, you've got to be able to draft these guys. Even the Eagles. Do you remember when they took Kevin Cobb? Everyone went nuts in the second round when he took Cobb. What's this mean for Donovan McNabb? Who cares what it ended up meaning? They flipped Cobb to Arizona for Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie in a second-round pick.
Right.
Cobb never even played.
They won.
Cobb never was able to do anything, and they got a second-round pick. That's the point. Look at the draft as a resource pool. It's not just players for you. It's players you can flip for more picks that can develop into more players.
And you know what?
It's a system here, right?
It is, Joe. And real quick, what it is about, too, is guys draft guys. They take guys because they know what teams want. They know that team picking behind them.
Really?
Want. Oh, hell yeah. And you know what that does? That gives them a bargaining chip. They understand they're taking a guy that has some value to another team, and later on, like you said, they turn them.
That's the Rob Gronkowski pick. People weren't paying attention. They might not necessarily know what I'm talking about. The Patriots traded ahead of the Baltimore Ravens at the last possible second to land Gronkowski because they know they wanted him. That was the year the Ravens used two picks on tight ends, Dennis Pitta out of BYU and Ed Dixon out of Oregon. And the Patriots also took Aaron Hernandez, he of the correctional facility up there in the greater Northeast region.
For a long time, right?
Yeah. But that was what they did. They knew at the last second. They knew what Baltimore was going for, and they slipped right in there, and they grabbed Gronkowski.
They do it. They do it, Coach.
And to your point about quarterbacks, they've got Jimmy Garoppolo now, and that's a classic example of what you're talking about.
Developing by who?
And
Brady.
And they didn't really develop him on purpose because Brady had the 4-game suspension, but you can't help but think that he would have gotten some time in there anyway, so he is now one of the more valuable pieces at quarterback among non-starters.
Ryan Mallett, they flipped him to Houston.
Ah!
They've also got Jacoby Brissett.
We're back to Houston.
Yeah. See how it all comes around full circle.
Full circle.
Man, we are going to get crushed on the tables later today. I'll tell you what. It's Joe, it's Low, it's Dibs. It's 95.7 the game. Back in a flash.
Ooh-wee!
You like that? You like that?
Can Brock Osweiler beat the Raiders? Sean Salisbury joins us coming up at 8:05. Now, back to Football Fridays, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Here's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
Yeah, that's right. It's a Football Friday. It's brought to you by Dolan's Lumber, Doors and Windows. Lower prices, better service, higher quality. An FH Daily Chevrolet, drive a little, save a lot. The MGM Grand, ladies and gentlemen. We are here. We are broadcasting live. Joe, Lowe, and Dibs, 95.7 the game. Beat the Bookie coming up in 14 minutes at 7:45. coming off an 0-6-1 week, I believe. Squad was the douche. final tally last week? 0-6-1.
Great coach. A great coach once told
no
me,
other
Joe.
Way to say, Hirosius, it's not even doing the word Hirosius justice.
But you know what, Joe? A great coach once told me. He said, a setback is nothing but a setup for a comeback. You're on today, baby.
From the Big Puma, who's in town, saw him last night at the SW Steakhouse down there at the Wynn. Good news, bad news. Good news, I caught a heater at the tables at Planet Hollywood last night.
Is that good?
Bad news. Puma's picks, probably not happening. He's being rated at $250 a hand, he says right now. So he's very excited. He's still playing, ladies and gentlemen, still playing at Planet Hollywood. And he thinks today he's going to turn it around later and be able to get out and mix it up with us. Puma's going to crash. Puma's going to crash real hard.
Oh, hard. Still up? He's done.
It's an amateur move, too.
$250 a hand?
Yeah.
Ah. Oh, the ulcer. I'm having an ulcer thinking about Big Poom.
Poom's a serious.
Lot of,
Poom don't play.
Lot of intersecting taking place this weekend between the Bay Area and Boston. You've got the 49ers coming in, hosting the New England Patriots. Tom Brady's coming home. You've got the Boston Celtics holding the Golden State Warriors tonight. And then you have Brady melding with the Warriors. You were just throwing this at me. I completely forgot about it, Lo.
Yeah. Brady, he was one of the guys that went after KD and said, you know what, why don't you come here? You'll get to see, come in my box. We'll hang out. We'll go play golf together. Me and you, KD. Forget Drake. I don't give a damn about Drake either. Me and you, KD. So he's kind of, you know, on that fence, thought he was going to be able to persuade KD to come. It's kind of like LeBron, Joe. I mean, LeBron has always been on the bad end of a lot of things. The Cleveland Indians don't win the World Series. Brady goes after KD. Yeah, sometimes the superstars – don't win as well.
How would a guy like Brady recruit a guy like KD? What happens in that meeting? I'm so low level in all aspects of life, I couldn't even fathom what two people like that would be talking about.
Well, you know what? I think that he could relate. Brady's from this area, but his family are awesome people. His sister's, you know, diverse. Actually, have interracial kids, biracial children. So Brady can hang out and be like, look, I know the struggle. Brady's in a lot of ways.
I don't know. Brady knows the struggle. I could see them relating on a lot of levels. I don't know about Tom Brady coming in telling Kevin Durant, I know the struggle. What struggle?
I think
being good-looking, white, and rich in America?
No, I mean, you got to realize, the house that they grew up in, a meager home, and you know, they were just
middle class. A lot of people are middle class.
I don't even know if necessarily middle class. They're good people. So I think he's been diverse. He's hung out with a lot of people. He's seen, you know, sisters and different things his family's been through. He's just a good guy. So I think that he can relate. I mean, Brady can get it in.
Let's pretend that Brady and Durant talked about something other than politics and middle class America, because I don't know if that's the selling point, but perhaps maybe it is. What would you think he'd be in there telling Durant?
Tell him about Boston and what the people of Boston are like, what the fan base is like, how much that they would embrace a guy like Kevin Durant, who, much like Tom Brady's never been described as a bad boy. Kevin Durant, you know what I mean? Tom Brady is an athlete who's been embraced by Boston, so I think he went to KD and saying, look, this is what Boston fans like. You're very much like the kind of athlete that they would admire and respect. Boston would be a good fit for you. I think that was the nature of the pitch.
Is there any reason to believe that Sunday at Levi's Stadium, the Niners are going to be able to rattle him enough to shock the world and pull off an upset? I've been trying to come into today with a positive frame of mind rather than the traditional, the Niners stink, the Niners are going to get blown out, the Niners should be losing in order to get a higher draft pick. I still agree with all that, but I'm just trying to take today to think to myself, could we see something shocking down there? And if so, how's it going to happen?
You could, and I don't think it's got to do anything with Tom Brady. I think it's got to do more with Joe. I really believe it has to do more with the Barlow. It's his Sunday.
There you go.
And Eddie D, what he meant to this organization, the things, the pillar that he's put in place, the things that he did, the people that he brought in, the way that he related to his players. This is going to be a huge coming out for Eddie D. I think that's the battle call. I think that that's going to resonate with the players. I think that's going to resonate with the fans. I think that's going to supersede Tom Brady because of the fact Eddie D, who's loved by 49ers family, 49ers fans. This is a guy that people loved and respect deeply.
Hey, do it for Eddie D game.
Do it for Eddie D game. I like that.
Man.
That should be the shirt this week, by the way.
Do it for Eddie D?
Why not?
Well, I don't
know. It's ambiguous enough you could apply it to several things in life. Yeah, do it for Eddie D.
Do it for Eddie D.
I got to go play craps for Eddie D. I got to go eat that steak for Eddie D.
For Eddie D this week. I
gotta
like that.
I got to extend this trip by 3 days for Eddie D.
How about it, Dibs?
You're doing it for Eddie D.
Do it for Eddie D.
What about doing it for the current owner? Can't we rally behind Jed York?
Put egg in your shoe.
Wait, what happened? I thought we were having a nice conversation.
Question from
there.
The text line. Who would play Steve Bartman in the biopic? Steve Bartman, for those just tuning in, the Cubs are going to reach out. They want to bring Bartman back into the mix. They want, essentially, to give him closure because, you know, the city of Chicago ruined the guy's life. We kicked around ideas of how you could give him closure. Dibs, I think you're on to something. Throws a first pitch, gets a World Series ring, gets to sing in the seventh inning stretch.
Sure.
I think that's a genius idea.
Pinch hits in the ninth.
I think it's
a genius
idea.
I mean, he gets
idea.
To do it all.
Who would play him in the movie, though?
It has to be one of those guys from Lord of the Rings. Not Frodo Baggins, but yeah, Frodo Baggins.
Rudy,
not Bilbo Baggins, but Frodo Baggins.
Is that the guy who played Rudy?
Yeah, I think so.
From Lord of the Rings, the guy Sean
Austin.
Sean Austin, is that his
Austin.
Name? Thank you.
Thank you, Cody. Toad chipping in.
If his voice got over those airwaves, let's back it up and erase it. Erase it from the airwaves.
Let's try to dump that. I think
we have to pretend like the information comes from us.
You need to find a smallish actor, somebody who can really play meager well. Maybe Matthew Broderick, if you adapt it for Broadway, turn it into a musical, because he's a guy who can do musical theater. Bartman, the musical play. Then maybe you go Matthew Broderick.
13-point underdogs. There's your cowbell alert from the L.A. station next door. 13-point underdogs at Levi's Stadium this weekend. That does not happen in the National Football League. The fact that you are almost a two-touchdown dog in a professional sport on your home turf against a team who got beat up physically by Seattle last week.
Yeah.
I know it was a close game, but that game took its toll. You got an opportunity here this week.
Yeah, if Colin should bring in shirts, I don't give a damn about Tom Brady. I mean, think about it. I mean, Tom Brady's coming home. They're getting more. He's getting more media attention than the Niners because it's Tom Brady. A local guy, and the team maybe should rally behind that because, you know, Tommy's coming home. Everyone's talking about Tom Brady. Should have been a Niner. I mean, guys want to, they should want to just beat him. So I think that could be one of the rally calls as well.
Definitely, and I think the Eddie D angle is
better.
Absolutely. No, it's absolutely a part of it. And if you're the 49ers and you're 1-8, sitting at 1-8, and you're finding reasons to compete and reasons to win, the fans would love to see him win for Eddie D, but also to be able to knock off Tom Brady, who is the one who got away. You think about all the quarterbacks the 49ers have had since the Patriots drafted Tom Brady. The only way to get back at him would be to beat him.
Yeah. I mean, God, just think about the Niners. They would have had him for the last 15 years.
Yeah. I mean, can you believe it?
That leads into the whole, does he still develop into the same Tom Brady argument? We have this all the time. He and Belichick are linked. They've each contributed equally to each the other's success. If Brady goes to Cleveland, he never turns out to be Tom Brady that we know today. And if Brady never ends up in New England, Belichick doesn't have all the success that he's had today. Those two were forever linked. It's like the whole Joe Montana-Jerry Rice argument. Well, you know, Joe might not have been so great if he didn't have Jerry, and Jerry might not have been so great if he didn't have Joe. Who's more responsible for the other? It's just greatness coming together at the perfect time, and that's why they produced great results. That's why the Patriots are producing great results. But if the Niners draft Brady, who's to say they develop him properly? Just like we've talked about with Dak Prescott. If Prescott's in Cleveland right now, we're not talking about him like we are based on what he's doing in Dallas, because he would be unable to do in Cleveland what he's doing in Dallas. He doesn't have that O-line. He doesn't have that running game. He doesn't have those weapons.
This is true. I think the flip side of that is you draft Brady, and a guy like Steve Young would have been his mentor. A guy who could have, you know, passed the baton and said, this is the way you study. And Steve Young was a guy who's kind of been in that same type of situation that Brady was in. So who would have thought that, you know, that could have happened? So maybe those parallels that Brady, because he had been so dominant, because Young had trained him in his mentorship, that he keeps the pressure on these guys, because Belichick and those guys are great, but Brady holds them accountable. Brady's the one who walks in those huddles.
Rookie first-round pick, DeForest Buckner, 0 sacks through his first 4 games of the season. But he's come on strong as of late. 3 sacks over the last 4 games, including 1 at Arizona last week. Get after Brady, son. Yep. Get after Brady. Go eat. Don't worry about scheme so much. There's probably all this complication. Just put your hand in the dirt and run after the guy. Get low, make a play. Let's see that. As a pass rusher, let's see it this weekend. All right, a broken and defeated Joe Fortenball beat the bookie. Coming up next, Joe Lo and Dibs, 75.7 The Game.
Can Brock Osweiler beat the Raiders? Sean Salisbury joins us coming up at 8:05. Now, back to Football Fridays, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Here's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
Welcome back alongside Dan Dibley and Lorenzo Neal. I'm Nick Papagiorgio, live.
What?
From the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Love it.
Boys, you're looking good. You're looking sharp. I cannot believe we're one night into this little four-day adventure and everyone's, you know, we're not supposed to look like this.
Feeling good, like Lewis. Yeah, things are going good here.
Going great.
Hydrated.
Yes.
I was hanging out with the youngsters and I was kind of showing them Vegas 101.
Good.
How to get free drinks. What an attractive female looks like in her cocktail attire. There was some hand-holding. Walked them through it a little bit.
Good for you.
And like the old man on the show, I took my stuff to sleep, Lo.
Good for you.
Early and often.
You helped them, though. You helped them out. You showed
them. I tried to.
The team that's here, Dan Dibley, Lorenzo Neal, myself, Cody Elias, our producer, Derek Papa, who produces in the afternoons. He's here as well. Now, Papa, even though you're not on air, have you been here to Vegas before? You were here one time. And Cody, you've never been here, and don't worry about jumping on air. I'm just kidding. I'm actually going to bring up something that was really smart that you said earlier in about 10 minutes here regarding the MVP results in the American League yesterday. You had a really interesting point on that we'll get to in just a bit. Yeah, you're right, Dibs. You don't realize that for those who have never been here before, the concept's very overwhelming.
Right.
The concept's very overwhelming. You don't realize maybe you can get the free drinks if you hustle them by sitting down at a slot machine pretending to play for a couple minutes. Not saying we advocate that, obviously.
No, never.
I mean, my move last night was to do exactly that. Sat down at a slot machine, just wanted to get a drink out of the deal.
Yeah.
Put the money in, lost all the money before she came back with the drink, never got the drink.
That's the old timer too.
That's the old Joe Fortenbaugh right there, and then you just go running around looking for her, which is embarrassing because it's like, oh, you know, I just decided to change the machine and I just wanted to come find you. It's like, yeah, that's why I'm getting a $1 tip here.
Right, $1 tip
because you're so red hot. All right, speaking of red hot, what's the opposite of red hot? Because that was beat the bookie last week. 0-6-1, the big squadouche. 0-3-1 in college football. 0-3 in the NFL. On the season now, college 26-19-2. Pro, 13-16-1. Overall, 39-35-3, 53%.
Yeah. Winning, though.
So, we're not going to do the whole production today. We're just going to go ahead and casually go over these games. Dibs has a six-team parlay European soccer coming up. That is going to be a guarantee. Call now, 888-957-9570. This pick is yours. It's a guaranteed 16 parlay winner. All right, here's what we like in college football, boys. Number one, we're going to play West Virginia at home +3.5 against the Oklahoma Sooners. Now, Oklahoma's resume looks pretty good on the surface. They're 8-2. Baker Mayfield, the quarterback, has been completing over 70% of his passes in six of his last seven starts. They're putting up big numbers. But go into the resume. Spend a little time. Let's see who they're beating. Texas Tech, who's 4-6. A laughable Kansas program. They didn't even cover that game. Iowa State, who's 2-8. And then they busted up a Baylor team last week that's quit on the season. Baylor was a fraud. West Virginia is the best defense in the Big 12, and defense matters in a game like this. They're giving up just 20 points per game in the Big 12 this season. That is rock solid. From a trends perspective, Oklahoma 1-4 against the number over their last five road dates, 0-5 against the number over their last five games following an against the spread win. West Virginia's covered the number in four of its last five. We're taking the Mountaineers +3.5. Game number two, Big Ten special, Northwestern at Minnesota. Lay the 1.5 with the Northwestern Wildcats. Don't let the 5-5 record fool you. They started the season 0-2, but since then they've come on extremely strong. 5-3 with a very tight 4-point road defeat at Ohio State. The offense has opened up the playbook in recent weeks. Meanwhile, Minnesota's current 4-game winning streak came to a halt last Saturday night against Nebraska when they completely, you know what, the bed. Dibs the bed, as some would say.
There we go.
They're outscored 14-0 in the second half. They lost 24-17. Minnesota's been decent this year, but they haven't beaten anybody. Maryland, Rutgers, Illinois, Purdue. Those teams are combined 13-27. That was the 4-game winning streak. Don't worry about it. They are overrated. Northwestern underrated. The road team in this series, 15-4 against the spread the last 19 times they've gotten together. Lay the 1.5 with Northwestern. Game number 3, Oregon at Utah. You don't need to think about this one too much. Lay the lumber. Lay the 14 with the Utes. The Utes still have big aspirations. Very good home team playing at elevation. Last week's loss to Stanford, where the Ducks got pummeled, that took them out of bowl eligibility. First time since 2004 they're not going to a bowl game because they can't reach 6 wins. They are going to pack it in on the season. They are not going to show up for this game. Utah's going to roll them. Game number 4, Mississippi at Vanderbilt. Now, last week, Mississippi had to begin life without Chad Kelly, their starting quarterback, the nephew of Jim Kelly. He suffered an ACL injury 2 weeks ago. So the true freshman steps in. Shea Patterson, 25 of 42, 338 yards, 2 touchdowns. Plays great. Now they're laying 10 on the road at Vandy, and everyone goes, this kid is the next big thing. That's what happens with true freshman quarterbacks. You might step in, you get that one big performance like Shane Buechele from Texas early in the year against Notre Dame, but they're inconsistent, and now they're overrated because of that performance last week. They should not be laying 10 points on the road. This game should be more closer to 6. Vanderbilt, very sneaky when playing at home, especially against SEC opposition. Here's what you want to know about Ole Miss. 1-11 against the spread over their last 12 games when they're a road favorite coming off a win. Take the 10 with Vandy. So to recap the college football side of the equation, we're taking 3.5 with West Virginia. We're laying 1.5 with Northwestern. We're laying 14 with Utah, and we're taking 10 with Vanderbilt. NFL picks, or did anyone want to weigh in?
I want to weigh in with the fact that you're ready to correct. 0-5-1 is not who you are, Joe.
0-6-1, Dibs.
I'd like to pick that up. 3-2-1. Joe, that's not who you are. 0-6-1, you're better than that. You're ready to regress up to the mean. I used actually pen this time to write your picks down. We're here in Vegas. I'm going to lay the lumber on you, Joe.
Let's go to the NFL.
Let's.
Lowe tipped me off to this, and then we kicked it around. So if it wins, Lowe gets credit as well. If it loses, put it all on me. You like that?
I like that.
What a friend.
No, I'll take it.
Miami -1 at the Rams. Take the Dolphins. Not because the Dolphins have won 4 straight. Something doesn't smell right about the situation with Jared Goff. They won last week. How often does a team win and then they make the quarterback change? Think about that. You moved from Case Keenum to Jared Goff after Case Keenum won a game. It didn't look pretty, but there's something going on there. There's something going on in Los Angeles. I think the Rams might not have as much hype in that city as they were hoping for, and they're trying to infuse Goff into the situation to raise some awareness. I think the city of L.A. is checking out on them because they're a boring watch. I think the Dolphins go in. I don't think Goff's ready for this game. Like Jared Goff, I don't think he's ready for this game. I think Miami gets him.
Yeah, and I think Fisher's gone. I think this move right here, because Fisher wanted to hold him out the whole year. He talked about it, said, I'm going to wait, a little ownership, put a little pressure, throw him in. Fisher can't develop. You got to realize, not just that, when you think about this, Gurley, where's he been?
They can't get him involved. He's a great running back.
He can't. It seemed like he's running well, seemed like what's going on. He wasn't even in on goal line, red zone. I watched the game last week. So you can't run the ball. He is going to have to win the game. One thing, you look at Miami. Miami can cover pretty good, Joe. I like Miami a lot in this game.
Game number 2, Arizona at Minnesota, under 40.5 total points. Under 40.5 total points. The under is hit in 3 of the last 4 Arizona games and 6 of the last 8 Minnesota games. In addition, the under is 4-1 in the last 5 meetings between these two teams. And the under is 19-7-1 in Minnesota's last 27 overall. Under Minnesota-Arizona. I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of Carson Palmer on the road. And Sam Bradford behind that offensive line, it's just not working out. Game number 3, lay the 2.5 with the Redskins over the Packers. The Packers stink. And they're 9-12 over the last 21 games. Go back to last season and process that for a minute. While Kansas City has won 17 of their last 19 regular season games, the Packers have only won 9 of their last 21 games.
Wow.
Something is wrong with them. They've dropped 4 of 5. They're giving up 37 points per game over their last 3 outings. Redskins, 5-1-1 after an 0-2 start. 5-1-1. They're coming together. So to recap your 3 NFL games, Miami -1 over the Rams, under 40.5, Arizona, Minnesota, Washington -2.5 over Green Bay. We are going to bounce back this week, son.
I like your picks, Joe.
Well, you know what? Miami, I think you and I are going to be riding that one hard. I think that's the one where we sit down in the book, and it's, you know what? Anyone who wants to have a conversation, need you to back away for about 3.5 hours because this one's going to be serious. Dibs, you are bringing a six-team guaranteed winner, six-team guaranteed parlay, 888-957-9570 for all the information now, completely free of charge. European soccer tomorrow morning?
Yes, I'm just one big winner away from my own 900 number. We've got a full slate of games in the Premier League. The game, the first game tomorrow, 4:30 a.m., Arsenal-Man U. I like Arsenal in that one. Actually, I do like Arsenal in that one, but that one, not a part of the parlay. Here's your sixth team.
So that's just the game you like on the side.
That's
a little Arsenal action.
That's just a freebie for you. That's actually a massive game. Two of the biggest clubs in England are clashing. That's like Pittsburgh Steelers going up against the New England Patriots.
Oh, wow.
That kind of ball game. But you got six games at 7 o'clock, Joe, for you early risers. Take Man City.
Crystal Meth.
Man City over Crystal Palace. You take Everton over Swansea. You take Liverpool over Southampton. That's a road team, Lo. Liverpool's playing very well. I don't need to tell you that. I like Stoke at home over Bournemouth. Hull City trying to avoid relegation over Sunderland. And, of course, you got to go with Watford over last year's Cinderella, Leicester City. You take Watford at home. Just to recap, you beat the bookie. 16, Premier League parlay. Man City, Everton, Liverpool, Stoke, Hull, and Watford. And after we hit that, we're going to roll that right in to Rick Tittle's Tottenham Hotspurs over West Ham United, Joe.
I love the idea of fading Crystal Palace. Never been a fan of Crystal Palace. Don't like him in this spot. Fade Crystal Palace.
Even
is that actually
home,
the name of him, Crystal
yes,
Palace?
Yes, Crystal Palace.
You got to fade Crystal Palace.
You know, Man City.
Sounds like a strip club, dude.
Man City and Crystal Palace, they look good. Man City, one of the most expensive sides in the world. They're coming in motivated, looking to get back on top of the table in the Prem.
I got to read this from the 650.
Oh, no, please don't.
You guys are in Vegas, and I'm stuck in Bay Area traffic. This is some bull dibs. I had to read it for
funny,
the
hello.
I
it's
had
funny.
To read it for the creativity. It's not so much to take a swipe at you. The listeners have done a great job with some of this. I just need to read it off. I really wasn't taking a cut of you. I love the idea of the 16 parlay I'm playing it. Fade Crystal Palace.
I appreciate that. And, you know,
4:30 a.m.
We talked. That's actually the.
We're just getting going.
That's the Arsenal Man U game.
Oh, that's
4:30.
I'm just getting ready to begin my evening.
Exactly.
4:30 a.m. I'm just starting my evening.
And if you need it, you got Middlesbrough and Chelsea on Sunday. But there's already so much action on Sunday going on. It's tough to bet the Premier League.
Man, you're on fire, Dibs, right now.
I love
you
the
sound plan, like
huh?
it. You I love it.
I love it. I love the soccer.
I had to call the bank yesterday. Had to have the conversation with them. I had only been here 20 minutes. Immediately the cards are getting shut down. So you got to call up and be like, look, it's me. I'm the one trying to make the charges. It's not stolen. And it's, oh, okay, you know, you didn't call us to tell us you were going out of the state, so let's go through the charges. And they're just reading them one after another that you have to verify. It's like, oh, my God, I've been here 11 minutes. How am I going through 30 minutes worth of charges at all these different things where it's like,
wow.
Yes, that was me. Yes, that was me. Yes, that absurdly large ATM withdrawal was me. Yes, that bottle of champagne was me. Ugh.
Champagne, steak, ATM. Champagne, steak, ATM.
Taxi. The woman was like, how have you been in a taxi 12 times? You just got there.
Wow.
According to your ATM, you just got to the airport 30 minutes ago. You've been in a taxi 12 times. All right. The NFL, huge weekend coming up. We got to break down a lot of key angles, and that's coming up in 1 minute. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
I'm looking for this underage kid named Papa Giorgio. Have you seen him?
Yes, he stole my wallet. He's back there.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.